Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is Tuesday, 22nd June. Good evening and welcome to another edition of The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. Tonight, joining me at the Blue Table is the Honorable Curtis Richardson of Anguilla. I will speak to Mr. Richardson, but before we do that, let's take a break. We'll hear from the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and Anchor Podcast, and we'll be right back with the Honorable Curtis Richardson of Anguilla.
Everyone struggles at times. Even we too have our own struggles. Do you have a loan at the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and have fallen behind on your payments because of financial difficulties? Have your financial situation changed? If your answer is yes, visit the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis or call 465-2288 extension 1101 or 469-5416 to make an appointment to discuss our debt evaluation and restructuring plan with one of our qualified officers. We are committed to working with you to make a sustained positive difference in your life.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
Joining me tonight is the Honorable Curtis Richardson of Anguilla. He was once a Minister of Government under the leadership of former Premier Victor Banks, and that government was the Anguilla United Front government. Mr. Richardson would have lost his seat, but the Anguilla United Front also lost government. That was last year. Curtis Richardson, welcome to the Blue Table.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hanley. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening.
All right. Before we get into the politics and governance of Anguilla, I want to first remember the late Honorable Hubert Hughes. I know that there was a state funeral for this Anguilla's hero. Your thoughts on the Honorable Hubert Hughes or the memories you would have had of him?
The late Honorable Hubert Hughes was a great man. He was a giant of a politician.
Mm-hmm.
I know that firsthand. I contested 2 elections against him. I was unsuccessful in both of those elections.
Mm-hmm.
The 3rd election that I ran, I won because he did not contest the seat.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the representative of the people of Rhode South for well over 50 years, 5 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had been chief minister elected 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has been elected the most as the leader of the country. So that speaks to the kind of endearment that the people, particularly in the Rhode South area, had for him.
Yes.
But he was a very strong person when it came to defending people's rights and people's interests. He was very brave. He spoke out against the British government and some of the things that he felt were not in favor of Anguilla in the relationship that we have had with them.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the highlights of his political career. And I'm sure that he will be greatly missed from among us.
Thank you for that, indeed. And so may his soul rest in eternal peace. That's the Honorable, the late Honorable Hubert Hughes. Now, Curtis, what happened? You were arguably the most popular minister of government, but that did not, when in your time for the past 5 years, and to me, you were doing good things for the people of Anguilla. But that did not translate into enough votes. What happened?
I believe the election of 2020 was an unusual election. And the electorate since 2005 in Anguilla has been consistently every cycle changing the government.
Hmm.
I think since 2005, 2010, 2015, 2020, the people are still searching as to who in their minds is the best set of people to lead in these very challenging times. These are very trying times,
mm-hmm.
and 5 years has proven not to be sufficient time to prove to the electorate that you are capable of leading them into the destination that they desire.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very tough election for me. You know, COVID came as well.
Yes.
And we had a lot of issues trying to decide whether to have elections during COVID or not. But we did decide to keep the election during COVID. The people had lost their jobs. It was a novel situation, a brand new situation with a lot of frustrations and tensions, people out of work. A lot of issues.
But it was also constitutionally due, though, right? The election.
It was constitutionally due, but the time had sort of elapsed a little as well. Mm-hmm. And it was a very frustrating time because trying to manage the COVID, some people felt that the government was trying to bypass the due date for election.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were calls for election. So we had to go ahead and heed the calls and... being the sitting government, we lost a lot of our seats. Well, I lost my seat as well.
Now that we have a new government in place, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being excellent, how do you rate this current government of Anguilla? And how do you rate the Honorable Hayden Hughes, who you came up against at this time?
Well, looking at all things, and also from the perspective that I also had the job, and I understand a lot of the challenges and concerns that they are now facing, having to deal with the COVID pandemic as well. I would give the government a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Above average, but they are lacking in some areas. One of the things that you have to take into account always as a leader for the people, you have to know, one, where the people are, how they are hurting, what is impacting their lives. And you also have to be very sensitive to the human factor.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of rules and regulations are needed to govern. But at the same time, you have to look at the impact that these rules and regulations have on everyday normal living. And in these times, which are very trying for a lot of people, you cannot ring fence the people too tightly because it adds to their frustration, you know?
And I am listening to you, and I'm a bit surprised that you mentioned that, well, you stated that you give them the above average of a 6. Someone listening to you would say, that doesn't sound like Curtis Richardson, but I am sure that you're just giving credit where credit is due. And of course, where they need to improve, you will also call that out.
Yeah, there's room for a lot of improvement, but that is the decision-making process. I have had a very different outlook when I was in government. I felt that the science should inform the decision and not make the decision for the political directorate, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I find that they are falling prey to is they are allowing the science to dictate the rules and procedures for them, and therefore they are not given a lot of thought as to how people are really impacted by some of the rules and regulations. And it is really making people's lives very, very complicated.
And that is something, Curtis, that many islands are faced with, where you have the science or where the CMO or who the task force, whoever is guiding the government with this, you have the science, but then there is the reality of so many unemployed people. There's the reality of so many business places hurting. So it's like, how do we find a balance?
And it's not an easy balance to find either, you know, because as we have been very fortunate in Anguilla that no one has passed away. We have not recorded any deaths due to the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look on the health side, the responsibility, because I was in government when the COVID first reached our shores here in Anguilla, and we had to decide when to shut down the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we struggled between ourselves, and we argued a lot between ourselves in Executive Council whether we should shut down right away or allow a 2-week period.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to allow a 2-week window because we had a lot of Anguillians overseas,
yes,
who went for medical reasons and school and so forth, who were looking to come back home. And it was a very unnerving time because you did not want COVID to come here and result in deaths.
Yes.
But at the same time, you still have to consider the lives of people that were being impacted by closing down the country right away. So it's not an easy decision, and that's why I give them a grade above average, because I had the job, and in all honesty, it is not an easy time for decision makers and policy makers.
And you rate Hayden Hughes the same right now with that six that you gave? The Hayden being your competitor, opponent in the last election?
I have always contested the seat because of my love and passion for the people in Rhodes South and in Anguilla. But I have always been cognizant of the fact that there are some good things about the late Honorable Hubert Hughes.
Yes.
And Hayden Hughes as well. There are some very good things about him. He has a high level of energy. And he's also a person who likes to see things being done.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I pride myself on as well. I'm a person who likes to get things done. But Hayden, equally as well, likes to get things done. A lot of people in the Rhodes South area has always clamored for a way for the two of us to run together or to be in government together. But the way that Angola politics is structured with the district seats, both of us are from the same area, and therefore we always naturally, over the last 15 years, 20 years, have been competitors for the same political seat.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rate him 6-7. I think he's trying hard, and I was the minister for the same ministry, the same portfolio that he's holding. I left a lot of things that will give him a lot of success, and he's following through, and congratulations to him on that, and as well as he's pushing on some new fronts. So I would give him a 6 and a 7 so far, above average.
You sound like a converted Curtis Richardson.
No, but I had always been this way. I have not been converted. I've always had this outlook. I try to be honest and fair when I'm dealing with national interests.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that are on opposing sides politically to me. But I know that if I work with them, if I had the opportunity to work with them, we could also get a lot done for Anguilla. But it's just the nature of the beast, the nature of politics. You have sides.
Yes, indeed. Tell you what, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll speak on what you just said about Hayden and more from about your separation from the Anguilla United Front. But we need to hear from Carl and Sons Bakery on St. Martin and Affluent Homes on Nevis. We'll be right back with Curtis Richardson.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And we're back with the Honorable Curtis Richardson, who is now out of government. He was a minister of government for 5 years. And now that seat has been taken, Rhodes South seat has been taken by the Honorable Hayden Hughes, who's actually the acting premier as we speak. Now, you mentioned, let's talk some politics now. You mentioned that, you know, because of the way the seat is set up, both of you are from the same district. And so you're not able to, well, you can work together in the interest of Anguilla, but because of the politics, you ran against each other. If the opportunity arises, can you see yourself working with the Honorable Hayden Hughes under the same party umbrella?
Well, that is left to be seen, but anything is possible in politics. like I said before, he has the drive. He has the zeal that I'm looking for in young, upcoming politicians. People that have a deep desire to do certain things that is needed to be done for Anguilla and for the people of Anguilla to take Anguilla upwards and onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he keeps pursuing a better way of life for the people of Anguilla, I will continue to look favorably at him going into the future for politics.
Or now that Anguilla has island-wide the seats, then you can be under the same umbrella, one running the district and one as the island-wide candidate. But again, one day in politics, that can change everything. Tomorrow, we can come back here and you'll have a different opinion of Hayden, because that's the way the cookie crumbles. So, but in terms of the politics, though, you're still looking forward to run for office one day again?
Yes, I'm hoping to still run in 2025 or whenever the next election is between now and 2025. I will run one more time, and if I am not successful, then I will seriously consider packing up my political interests and allowing the generation behind of me to continue to forge ahead.
Now, during your time in office, Curtis, it was said that the then Premier Victor Banks could not control you, in terms of Curtis was the one people would call you the Donald Trump of the government at that day. I am not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it was said that Victor couldn't control you. Now I see that you have resigned from the Anguilla United Front Party. Why did you leave and not be a part of the rebuilding? Because obviously they're now rebuilding. I'm seeing some new faces. There's a woman in leadership. Why did you leave instead of being a part of that process?
I came into politics in 2005, and I have been around long enough to consider certain elements of the politics in Anguilla.
Mm-hmm.
One of the elements of the politics in Anguilla, as you saw, is that a lot of the senior politicians have moved on. They are all retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a vacuum left for leadership, political leadership in Anguilla. And I have been around long enough, and I feel that the time has come for me to be able to step out and to walk along with the new generation of political persons who are coming on the scene. And I felt that I would not be able to find myself with the best grouping if I continue to stay with the Anguilla United Front. You have to bear in mind that I came into politics with a party called the Answer Party.
Mm-hmm.
When I lost that first election, I was given a job within the Anguilla United Front administration that came to power in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, after I worked with them for 5 years, I decided to run as their candidate for the election 2010. And then I came back as the candidate for election 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable former Premier, Chief Minister Victor Banks, I felt that he was someone that I watched over the years as an administrator in government. And I felt that if I had an opportunity to work with him, I could learn a lot and from his leadership.
Yes.
So I was very fortunate to be a minister in his government in 2015. And I think that I have grown, I have learned. I understand a lot more than I ever did. And I think the time has come for me to step forward, broaden my shoulders, and carry more weight in terms of what I would want for the betterment of the people of Anguilla. So I decided to resign so I can give myself all of the possible avenues where I can step forward and better represent the people of Anguilla.
Do you think former Premier Banks, he was a great leader, a great premier?
Yes, I think that he was a great leader, and I stand to take verbal abuse for that, because down in the Road South area, the Honorable, the late Honorable Hubert Hughes had really decimated his character and his image.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who don't really give him a lot of credit. But when we came into government, government was down. That was the reason why we came to government with 6 of the 7 seats. We had a very heavy mandate in 2015 from the people. They were not satisfied at all with the Hughes-led government of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Banks led. He led in a very trying time. And we will go down as the government. He will go down in history as the premier who faced it all. He faced a struggling economy, and he was able to keep the country afloat. He also faced the worst hurricane in the history of Anguilla, and we were able to keep the country afloat. We also faced the first arrival of the COVID pandemic in Anguilla, and we kept everybody safe, and we did well in terms of making decisions to keep the people happy and peaceful.
But if you've been through so much with the Anguilla United Front, the good, the bad, the trials that you've just spoken eloquently about, articulated rather, about just a few seconds ago, all these trials and challenges, was it best for you to turn your back on the party instead of rebuilding with the party?
No, I did not turn my back on the party. I just explained to you previously that one of the things I wanted to do was to gain experience with someone that had been in government and that I could gain experience from. Anybody else that is there now has had less years in politics than what I have had.
So now that you say that, so now that you have said that, is it then that you probably wanted to be the leader of the Anguilla United Front? Because if you're saying that those who are there now, less political years than you, and probably on the same page, so then are you saying that you would have probably stayed with the Anguilla United Front if you became the leader of the party?
No. It wasn't a matter of me becoming the leader of the party to stay. The time had come for me to look at all things,
mm-hmm.
and it was the right decision in my mind to let them build the organization the way that they would see fit,
mm-hmm.
and I would just move on and let God have his way in my life.
Now, before we wrap up, folks would have accused you then, and that's earlier I call you the converted Curtis, because folks accused you then of being very aggressive, very blunt. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing in some eyes, or whatever the case may be. Some folks have argued or said that you would have spoken derogatory about women and all of that. What do you say? Do you find these attacks unfair, or do you have regrets in certain positions or statements you would have made in the past?
No, I don't really have what you would call as regrets. Looking back, there are things that you could have done differently. But one of the things that they were able to do very good, they were able to take very minor situations,
mm-hmm.
and magnify them under the scope of elections in the eyes and minds of a very desperate electorate.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not, I'm not offended by it. I go around the country. I meet with people. People know who I am. And that is the one factor that will always bear me out. People know who I am. People know that I'm outspoken. But people at the same time know I'm a very loving and caring person.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet every man every day on the level of love and appreciation. And that will bear me out down the road going into the future.
Wow.
But during the mm-hmm. campaign, they did a very good job in targeting me and highlighting certain things that would annoy and aggravate people. But people know that that is not really my person.
Right. But finally, looking back, is there one thing you said you don't have regrets, but is there one thing you can think of immediately that you probably say to yourself, you know what, I should not have said, or I should not have done this, and looking forward, this is the way it's going to be? Is there that one particular thing or one thing?
No, I can't put my mind on any one thing, but what I would say is that all of the issues that were highlighted in the campaign and everything that came forward, mm-hmm. has taught me lessons that I will take with me in trying to improve. Because one of the things that you always have to do as somebody that puts yourselves out there as a leader and a representative of the people, you always have to improve.
Yes.
Because the people are always looking for the best. People will not settle with what is good. You know, they're always looking for the best. So mm-hmm. I take certain lessons, and I am growing older. I'm maturing more.
Yes.
And I'm looking to God to continue to bless me with wisdom and understanding. And as I go into the future and I find the right set of people to configure myself with, I think that the future will look bright, for me, and I will continue to grow in that regard in representing the people of Angola.
A truly inspiring discussion with you this morning, Curtis Richardson. We end here, and I will also end with your song that is making headway across the Caribbean, across internationally. I know that if there was Carnival this year on Anguilla, that you would have probably won Road March and other shows, other titles. It is a slamming hit, and it is just creative. And you did fantastic with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, the Honorable Curtis Richardson of Anguilla, and truly an excellent discussion this evening here with you. So folks, there you had it, the Honorable Curtis Richardson. Do join me again tomorrow evening for a similar presentation. I am Mervyn Henley at The Blue Table. Good night.
Put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. Put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. Monday morning, pastor calling, why you weren't in church? Do you still love God? He ain't noticed his reduced congregation. He only preached to who? Take the vaccination. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One set of rules just to leave me out. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One set of rules just to leave me out. Morning, travel agent calling, do you still intend to go abroad? She ain't noticed or done lose interest. Travel complicated unless you're vaccinated. Now put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One set of rules just to go abroad. Now put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One set of rules just to fly abroad. Wednesday morning, partner calling, excited that he won 2 rounds of golf. He ain't noticed I won the trip to Nevis. I forced him to the jab. I rushed there in a cab. Now put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One load of incentives just to make me leave me yard. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. One load of incentives just to make me leave me yard. Thursday morning, boss man calling, bring proof of vaccination to work. Notice, I done call the office. This the last straw, them going too far. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. Take weary rights, me freedom, and threaten me job. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. Take weary rights, me freedom, now threaten me job. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. No August Monday beach party, oh Lord. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. No boat racing, no juve, no carnival. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. I'm coming for the Calypso crown and road march. Then put the pressure upon me, squeeze me hard. I'm coming for the Calypso crown and soca monarch.
Mervyn Henley will inspire. Mervyn Henley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Henley.